stupid child.
Now I know what I mean.
You're a child.
Are you sure?
About half an hour, 45 minutes or so.
Safety meeting tomorrow?
Yes.
Remind him to buckle up so you don't.
What will do?
Are you
if nobody's sign the board. Please make sure that you sign the board before you leave this evening.
Call our August 15th meeting to order. Please rise for the pledge of the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gary, before you come up, got a little statement here. It's an apology. I'm going to apologize to Emily Heiser on behalf of the board and the council and others who were unable to access the public joint session on August 8th. These security and ADA issues continue to be a problem. And ironically, if you look at WKBI's Facebook from a year ago, in June, there was a joint session, and almost the same discussion took place. No action. As council members and commissioners, we are held responsible for following the law, and for years this county has not followed ADA laws accordingly. We continue to look the other way when it comes to accessibility and now security. I would hope the public starts to speak up on these issues before it's too late, either by federal fines or harm to someone. So we apologize, Emily.
All right. On behalf of all the people with mobility problems, thank you.
You're welcome. Terry?
Good evening.
How are you? Haven't got much for you guys tonight. I guess what I'm trying to say is our blade mixing, 26 mile, is complete. We're half done with the ceiling. Everything went pretty good. The weather was great, I guess. We've got the mowers running. Had a few issues with the corners, whatever. Haven't heard anything from the matching grants yet, so we don't know where we stand there yet, I guess. But that'll be towards the end of the month, I believe. So, other than that, the Monterey Days, things Wednesday. So, if you guys have any questions.
But you got any questions?
No.
I'm good. I don't have the exact numbers how many applications were submitted, but it was over 1,500 applications for the state of Indiana on the matching grant. There's a more defined number. I was given that last Thursday when I was in Indianapolis. We'll see how it all rolls out.
We can't really say one way or the other. Hopefully by the end of the month we'll know.
Correct.
All right.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, guys. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nikki Lowry for EMS.
I apologize for sending out the stats late. I hope everybody got a chance to look at those. We're running on course as usual. Nothing major in write-offs. Revenue has kicked up a little. We are waiting on the 2013 Medicaid reimbursement to come in.
2013? Okay.
Just to kind of keep you updated a little bit, the 2014 Chevy has been in and out of bonds several times for the emission regulation. What happens is it kicks on, it loses power, it downgrades. It's the federal emissions requirement. It is now at Shepherd's, because Bonds was unable to take care of that problem. So we took it over to Shepherd's in last week and we're waiting to hear back from them. Supposedly it's still under warranty. One time Bonds said it was the fuel injector, it was under warranty, it was not under warranty when the cylinders was bad, no, it wasn't bad. So we took it over for a second opinion.
If this second opinion doesn't bid well for us, is there another level of reaching out to the manufacturers and get them involved with the tech support?
We are getting, drafting a letter to GM. We are not the only services have issues with that last Chevy. I just spoke with Hobart Fire, who has the same year, same make, same model, and it's been in the shop also. So it sounds like it's the same issue when they first changed engines in the Ford several years ago. They had bugs, and they're trying to work those out.
All righty.
Our first responder class is finishing up this week. They'll be testing. Then in October, they're going to be starting a basic class and an advanced class. We've had some bites, not a whole lot. And I believe that's it.
On those classes you're offering, is it mainly Alaska County residents, or is it other residents from other counties taking advantage of this program?
The first responder class was primarily fire department within Alaska County. There was six. basic and advanced class. We've had a couple applications. I believe one is from Stark County. One is local. The advanced class is primarily probably going to be the majority of ours.
So. Very good.
Also, I received an email from Lutheran Fulton County about a mutual aid agreement. I am working on a reply for our specifications, and I will send it to you and to Kevin also to review before I send it out.
Work with Kevin first and then get us a final draft of what you're looking at. Do you have a scope of what they're looking for or what you're asking about?
It's a mutual aid as if, say, they get busy and they want us to come into Fulton County to cover, help cover their county when they're extremely busy. Same thing for us. But the stipulation that they had put on their end, I didn't agree with, because then it would leave us short in our county. So I need to find and tweak what our stipulations would be.
And the assistance help covering their county, are we talking about the county as the whole or 3 or 4 miles across the line?
It would just be the west side, like west side of Fulton County, east side for us. It would be like Leiter's Ford, Kiwana, Grass Creek area.
Okay. Yes, definitely get with Kevin and express your concerns and help.
We looked at one of those before.
Jasper County?
I've never seen anything. The only mutual aid agreement I found, it was never signed, and yeah, it was very brief. Very brief. So I'd like ours to be a little bit more detailed.
Correct.
So, but I'm planning on doing that this week.
Look up for us first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Any other EMS questions?
I don't have a question. I want to continue on this discussion with Jason over here. Jason, in these mutual aid agreements, if we enter into one, and we're in the other counties performing our duties under this mutual aid, are there any things that we need to be aware of insurance-wise, liability?
I'd have to check. There shouldn't be. I mean, the only difference could be audited payroll if that requires more. You know, if you're doing more jobs, it requires more pay. But from a liability standpoint, we're already rating for the services you're providing. I don't think legally we're in Indiana because it's an Indiana policy, so it shouldn't be a problem if you're helping out in another county or whatever.
I would assume.
I'll double check, but yeah, I can't foresee there being a problem from that standpoint.
I assume it would probably be like a mass casualty disaster type situation where, as long as you're practicing within your scope.
Okay, I just wanted to.
You're not limited to work specifically in Pulaski County. That's the general scope of where you're at. But, you know, if you cross over to Jasper or wherever, they're not going to suddenly cease your insurance policy. So.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Just flipping gears here. We have a safety meeting tomorrow at 10 a.m. Elise is coming up to discuss workman comp issues, and then I would like to get with all the department heads and see if we can get a light duty policy within the county, so if somebody is on a restriction work-wise, that maybe they could go into another department and file or whatever. So we're just going to get some general ideas, and then I'll throw it your way.
Who's coming to talk about?
Elise from Downey.
Oh, all right.
So.
She does all the training for work comp related everything. So.
I imagine that would come under the policy book committee also once.
I'm going to draft and then send it into that.
Okay.
That way, possibly, we can find something that when people are off, they're not taking all the workman's comp. You know, they're able to do other duties within another agency.
With that comes the
job. I'm not talking about that. I'm not sure exactly what you mean.
With that, and then that would come down to job descriptions, detailed job descriptions, lifting, how much mm-hmm. they lift, when they lift, how they lift.
Like right now, you know, if I have somebody that goes on workman's comp, it's usually a weight restriction. They can't lift more than 10 pounds.
Correct.
But they could come in and file, make copies for another department. So, answer phones.
Correct.
That's on the agenda for tomorrow also.
All righty. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Nikki.
You're welcome.
Christy Hoffa from Clerk's Office.
Good evening.
Hello.
I attended the last week's council meeting requesting an additional to purchase some software and equipment for the clerk's office and the courts. I brought the quote with me because I didn't get a chance to email it to you guys prior. I apologize. We're getting to the point where things need to be going digital. We have several clerks in the other counties in Indiana that are way ahead of our clerk's office as far as scanning documents in and then being digital. This is working with our current software vendor and getting everything that we would need to get the process started, including training and everything to train the staff on what needs to be done. The council did approve the additional, which would come from the clerk's perpetuation fund. The money is there to purchase this equipment, and that's what that fund is for. So I'm coming to you guys kind of maybe backwards. I probably should have came to you first, but timing-wise, I hit the council meeting first just to get the okay to go ahead and follow through with this.
No additional employees need to be done for this scanning, correct?
This
little phase in or phase out what standard practices were as of today, and the forward thinking, the new processes will be.
Yeah, I don't foresee it being a problem. Each one of my staff members handles specific case types for each court. They would be scanning in the documents as they receive them. I also have a part-time employee who works the voter registration and helps with the clerk's office duties as well. And I think, you know, with her, we would be fine as far as that's concerned.
Great. I have no issues and no questions. Move to approve the commissioner's portion of this contract with CSI County.
I'll second the motion to allow the clerk to purchase this.
You have a second. You second it. You just need to say all in favor. Say
okay.
Aye.
All in favor.
Aye. Aye.
Bud seconded.
Terry seconded. Bud agreed, but it wasn't loud enough, so Terry seconded. So it got seconded. We all are in favor.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Christy.
Nathan, saw him somewhere. There he is. For CDC, come on up.
Party here tonight.
How you doing?
Terrible. How are you?
Everyone till the end?
No.
Come on.
Got a sick wife at home.
Okay.
She'll not email that to you at all.
Thank you.
Hello, everybody. First, an update on the discussion of vacating County Road 60 between Plants 3 and Fort Vulnerability. We had initially planned to have the public hearing tonight. All the necessary documents have been prepared either by me or by Brad Johnson, who is general counsel at Bond, or by Stuart Gutwein of Gutwein Law, including a draft road vacation ordinance that I will ask Kevin to review once we're ready to move forward, except for the roadway access agreement, which is under development, and which would ensure that S&S precast trucks, recycling center and transportation trucks, and any trucks for any future industrial park tenants that may come on would continue to be able to access the industrial park. So that's the draft of that there's a draft of that, but it's not final yet. We're delaying the public hearing, as I informed you all via email late last week, I believe, until Vulnerability and I have the opportunity to meet with SNS Precast. We've had a couple of conversations in person over the phone with Megan Allen and with Richard Shin, and Richard has made it clear that he is not opposed to the road closure per se. This was as of Wednesday or Thursday when Brad Johnson spoke with him, but he is not willing to give his stamp of approval, so to speak, until we've been able to hash out all the concerns. You know, his objection or his concern is having somebody, if a gate would be installed at some point, which is probably the only easy way to police, you know, of self-policing it to keep general public traffic out of there. He doesn't want a Braun employee essentially having authority to dictate whether his trucks can enter or not, which is a perfectly reasonable concern. So we are going to meet with him either in person if he's in town or over the phone with Megan in person to see what it will take to get that all worked out. And he says if his concerns can be met, he will support it and not object to it. And anything that it takes to meet his concerns should be sufficient down the road if we have any tenants for the land that is still available for development.
This proposed gate be a manned gate, yeah.
I don't know what hours it would maintain it. It would have to be manned just because it would be too impractical to pass off the security code to every driver for Braun, right, and the transfer station and SNS Precast and anything. So what hours they would man it, I don't know yet. And that, it, you know, even if the commissioners were closed tonight or in 2 weeks or whatever, it's not necessarily the case that that would be installed immediately. It might look at simpler forms of policing at first, but that is a possibility. And and some discussion that will be in the final roadway access agreement, which we hope Richard will sign on to, and we will present to the commissioners to sign on to as well before we actually ask you to make it.
Very well.
So effectively, what we want to do is close the road to employee traffic and general public traffic, but not completely shut it down.
Correct.
Braun's going to need to get trucks in there as well.
Correct.
So I will keep everyone here apprised as we move, but the next step will be for me to meet with Brad and then for the two of us to get on the phone or in person with Richard. I'm guessing on the phone unless he's in town, because the commissioners probably aren't going to want me to fly to Florida on the county's dime just to negotiate a simple road closure.
Sure we would not.
But I'll keep you all apprised.
Okay.
Number two, our CTE RAMTEC program, up and running. I don't know the exact number. We have 40-plus students in the first two Introduction to Advanced Manufacturing classes over at West Central. And a maintenance worker from Frafica will be visiting the two classes tomorrow while they're still, like, doing housekeeping and getting into the semester. Just talk about working in modern manufacturing, what industrial maintenance involves, that sort of thing, so that right in they kind of know what they might be looking forward to if they stay on this program and not go in another way. I'm organizing a meeting with maintenance managers from various local manufacturers, start assessing their needs so that we can design curricula for the higher level courses in this program that are as relevant to local companies' maintenance specifications as possible. And I met with Kevin last week, and we'll be working on setting up the adjunct teacher there, who's going to be with us for 3 to 5 semesters probably, as a 1099 independent contractor for the county. And like I explained a month ago, the money would come through the county, but it will be all money that is held at the community foundation in this fund. So they would cut a check, dispersing however they prefer to the county, and then we would turn around and pay him rather than it being from county funds.
Very good.
Yeah, we talked about contract, and he's going to. We're
going to
work out the details now, but I'll go through the auditor's office.
So.
All right. Very good.
So just briefly, some building planning zoning matters. I've been working with Doug and Quentin to establish a proper fee schedule for building planning and zoning. Terry, I know you've seen the building fee schedule, and it's a mess.
Yes.
I think the quote-unquote official schedule has handwritten notes and scratch-outs on it, and I don't even know if they have an editable copy or just a PDF. And then the only evidence we have of any planning or zoning fees are meeting minutes from 2012. There was never actually a schedule put together. There are a lot of things that the ordinance says should have fees. We don't have fees for, and the few fees we do have are, they're astronomical relative to almost any neighboring community, and every neighboring community is a larger community than ours. So we're working on putting that all together.
Very good.
As I've mentioned in the past, the Winnemac Plan Commission is considering recommending that the town council adopt our ordinance to enforce their own, which just changes from Pulaski County to Winnemac and zoning administrator to town manager. So in preparation for that, we're working on a few minor tweaks to the existing ordinance thing. Nothing major like when we had to redo it, but you know, with any new program, as you implement it, you find the minor issues that you didn't that need to be fixed. So this is a good time before the town adopts it, get everybody back on the same page. So once all that is taken care of, and I'd say that's 95% done because it's all really easy and it's all in the name of making things easier and more flexible for the staff and for landowners. That should be coming up soon.
What's the Madarioville and Francisville have already adopted?
Madarioville and Monterey. Francisville hasn't. Well, they didn't adopt it. They agreed to be part of the town, of the counties.
Okay.
Francisville has expressed little to no interest in adopting ours as their own. So if the town of Winnemac adopts, were to adopt it, then all of Pulaski County, except for the town of Francisville and its two-mile fringe, would have the same zoning ordinance. The town would retain its own authority. They would just be using our rules. So whether you're on the east side or west side of 200 West, you know what the rules are. And it makes it easier for Doug and Quentin, since even though the town has its own zoning, the county has contracted to do their building enforcement. So he's enforcing. When he's saying, yes, you can do this building, he doesn't have to refer to two separate zoning ordinances.
Very good.
Last one is the West Side Rail Park. I've gotten the approval from the Advisory Commission on Industrial Development, which is the Industrial Park Board and the CDC, to come to you guys tonight. Doesn't mean you have to make a decision tonight, but we are ready when the commissioners are to move forward trying to acquire the property. The proposal is that, as I suggested last month, commissioners agree to split off and then do auction or otherwise sell the 97 acres of the county farm south of County Road 60. So it would be roughly 27 acres on the north side, south of the RC Park Airport, and north and west of the county home would remain county property. But the 97 acres south of the county road, deposit those funds from the sale in the industrial development fund to be used to acquire the approximately 55.5 acres on the west side. Now, the Industrial Park Board did give me a purchase price ceiling when negotiating with the landowners, and also to ask that if tonight or 2 weeks from now or a month from now you agree to do this, you'd agree to it on the condition that nothing happens until there's a letter of intent from the landowner. So I don't want you guys to, you know, say yes and then get a hold of Dwayne Davis or whatever method you choose, and then we get it sold and we don't have land to buy because negotiations fall through. That would make me look pretty stupid, and while the county would be sitting on the cash it could use for something else, wouldn't have any, you know, we would have sold the land for nothing immediately. And they said, you know, if he agreed, he doesn't, or they don't agree to the ceiling, or to sell it for edible the ceiling, go back to them to try to get some more flexibility. For obvious reasons, I don't want to throw the number out there, but it is knowing that they're going to, you know, as any person potentially selling land is going to try to get the best money for the property. It is above the appraised value, but significantly lower than the first number that the landowners had thrown to me, and it gives us some room for negotiation. So I will leave it to you all to ask any questions you have or suggest any comments, but that is where the CDC and the Industrial Park Board stand. We are ready to move forward when the commissioners give us agreement. If we don't sell the land at some point, we're going to have to look at other sources of funding it which will, of course, delay it, which itself isn't a terrible thing, but it still does mean either coming straight out of taxes or putting all the work into a grant and still using some tax money to acquire the land. And if we can acquire it without using tax money, all the better. And I apologize for sounding like a frog tonight.
Bud, Terry, you got any questions?
Well, you and I sat down and talked about this. Is there anything further you would want to know? And I will note in full disclosure, so if, and this is based on current numbers, this year's contract with the landowners, whom I have made aware of the potential of selling it. Right now, the county is getting $180 an acre. The actual contract is $150, and based on the prices, at the commodity prices at the time, they added an extra $30 per acre. That's not guaranteed next year, and of course, the entire contract isn't guaranteed next year at $150 because it is on a one-year basis. If that, based on what the land in the dairy belt is worth at assessed value, based on a very rough idea of what this land would be assessed at, because that kind of information is available because taxes aren't paid on it, we would put on, if we sold this, the county would add about $2,200 a year in taxes, and tax revenue lost over there would be about $1,300. So just on taxes, tax generated, we would gain $900 a year. However, as far as the tillable land goes, the net revenue, we would be losing, I want to say net, it was net somewhere around $5,000 or $6,000 a year. So until development occurred, the transaction, selling this land, buying that land, when you balance out tax revenue and rent generation, the county would be losing a few $1,000s each year. Now, depending on what this land here goes for, how much that goes for, there might be enough extra padding, but that doesn't make a difference. And again, once there's development over there, the equation changes significantly. But we, so that's what that says.
Yes. Still money available in your fund that could purchase this straight away?
I mean, there is. The CDIT, I don't have the budget. I want to say, excluding the $500,000 or so that is invested, and excluding anything that is currently budgeted, and I think now that the jail lease payment has been made, IT in my office is the only things that still have been budgeted. There's about $1.3 or $1.4 million available. So theoretically, we could buy it cash. We could buy it outright with cash. It's, you know, that is not an impossibility. That just seemed to me to be something to which the taxpayers would be highly sensitive. I don't have a problem with it myself. I don't have a problem with the grant route where we'd only use half the cash, except that that adds time and it adds a lot of work that we aren't necessarily prepared to handle immediately. But there are other options. As I said, I like this one primarily because little to no tax money has to be touched at this point. We might need to use some down the road for developing utilities, but there are options for that too. But we would be able to make a land acquisition without touching taxes.
And that seed of money that you have in there, the $1.5 million.
We should see that technically no longer is seed. There's okay, just the economic development component of the LOA, because they tried to make everything easier and I think just made it more complicated.
Okay. The economic development of the LOA, roughly $1.5 million. Those monies could go for the infrastructure, building of the roads, the sewer, water, et cetera, et cetera, which we would still need to come up with whether we sell the property or don't sell the property, or, you know, do the land swap.
And in an ideal scenario, if we move forward with selling, we would use the sale proceeds to buy the land, and then we would be able to use for a lot less local money, use local money to match a grant from the federal government for the development of the infrastructure.
And that 1.5 could be used for that.
Yeah, and And we'd be looking at probably $400,000 cash and $400,000 grant, roughly, if we did that for the development and not the acquisition.
Very good.
And I would also note, last month, Mr. Locke had asked a couple of questions, and the one he raised that I couldn't answer at the time was about drainage. And I consulted the engineer who directed me to something in the study. They had addressed that. They acknowledged that going under the railroad would be virtually impossible, and that the Antrim ditch is just too far away. And so what they propose, and what actually coincides with development standards in our zoning ordinance, is that either individual plot parcels out there or shared, if could be done, we would require detention ponds instead of trying to tie it into legal drainage.
Very good.
What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
It'd be my motion to proceed forward with allowing Nathan the opportunity to either sell or auction off.
I can't do that myself.
Well, move forward on the process of acquiring the land necessary for development of the industrial park for the west side.
I'll second the motion, Larry. We have a motion and a second to proceed with the sale and purchase of community property for the west side of development. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Motion carried.
That is all that I have, unless any of you have any questions.
We're good.
And but if there are any future questions, concerns you have about this, given your opposition, you know where to find me, and I will do my best to keep you apprised and answer any questions you have. And any of you out there who may have questions or concerns, I'm happy to answer any and all of them.
Start with Nathan. Thank you.
Thanks. Brad Bunnell, Recycling Transfer Station.
Tonight, transfer station was a good average, 195 ton taken to Liberty Landfill, and we exceeded the $8 mark again, so we're still above water there. Recycling sales, we had 44 ton of cardboard, or just a little bit over, and it was $100 a ton. However, it did raise another 10 bucks this month, so it's going to be a little bit better. And I've averaged a little bit more inventory this month too. It kind of held some back because of that. So we've got a load of cardboard going out this week and a load of mixed paper going out this week. Overall sales wasn't bad either for the month for recycling. My expenses were basically down. I didn't have anything major go wrong. Our five-year permit was completed and sent off on time for the transfer station. So it will be approved by October if there's no errors in preparation, and I went over with a fine-tooth comb, so it should be okay. I do have one request at the transfer station that I'd like to ask. That's on this map that I gave you.
Yeah.
We have some congestion up there during busy hours, and it's
yep.
a little bit worse now since we've moved the open top containers to the south or to the west of the building, but it's made life a lot easier for everybody too. I knew this was going to be a problem when we did this, but if you can see the darkened area on the other side of the scales or on the south side of the scales, that is the area that I would like to stone so they can at least pull off and get around the other people on the other side of the scales. The congestion has always been at the south of the building. And eventually, I would like to make it one way, so they've got to come in from the west.
That's a good idea.
And they can either turn left to unload, or they can turn right to exit after they've weighed out. And eventually, too, I'd like to incorporate a scale house there. I was going to put together an experimental one first, just to see how it goes. And that would keep people from having to pull back around and come back into the building to pay. So there's less foot traffic in and out of that overhead door.
Terry, would you be able to come and try to give us an estimate of how much stone might be required for his project? And do you have monies budgeted that we could...
There should be money left in my equipment fund, and I wasn't going to do this until he was done with all his projects.
Correct.
To chip and seal them. So, September, October.
Okay. Would any... No drainage need to be put in?
There isn't any there now, and that's part of the sandiest part of the lot, so
okay.
I'm guessing it'll probably be all right.
For those that haven't been out to the transfer station, some major improvements have been added to the facility at west of the building. We have now three 35-yard cubic yard containers that are available for what do you call it? The
construction, mostly.
Construction materials that's being taken to the transfer station. If you remember back in the day, you would have a line of six or seven vehicles waiting on that construction team come in here and manually download it and put it in the compactor, and sometimes it would get overfull, and they would have to get everyone out and get the backhoe in and dig it out. When was the last time you've had to clean out your compactor?
It's been a long time.
So, simple changes, investment into the facility. It's gone a long way. We're able to help eliminate the, they call it a dig out of the container when you're down on the top of the hill down Buffalo and it's all jammed in there, stuck. They would have to come dig you out and charge you $50, I think, per dig out. And those have pretty much gone to the wayside also, since we're not jamming all the construction equipment into the compactor. So strong work, great future, great vision of where we want to be and where we want to go. And there's other things out there that you're looking at, and so this is great. Appreciate the efforts.
That's all I have, unless you have anything else.
Fighting any questions?
Good ideas.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you. Okay, Sherry. She's back here. Sherry, have you talked to Jill about the equipment?
Not yet.
Okay.
I have a couple questions for you.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Did you want to share some work over there?
Yeah, I sent you an email.
She's been on the road.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. It's all, and Jeff and Sherry met with me a couple of times. They did a thorough job on this. The ADA compliance paperwork is quite extensive. Perhaps I'm doing an addendum to our policy book, so lengthy, but I guess they can explain, but if you don't recall, the
genesis of all of this work was a letter from Richard Letter, Indiana Department of Transportation, June 22nd, pointing out that we were not complying with Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 or ADA, complying with the American Disabilities Act, and giving us a short time frame by August 19th to comply with it, and gave us a checklist, which Jeff and Sherry tackled. We went through in detail. Required a lot of things. They came up with a comprehensive plan, and I've been through it with them. And from what I can tell, it's about, we can't really pare it down any. I don't know if he's the only thing we can pare it down. To be in compliance with federal law. And so we need to enact it in order to not jeopardize any federal funding. Right?
Correct. So today, what we're asking you to do is, if you've read over the Title VI assurances,
yes,
and if you agree with them, approve of them, then Commissioner Young is going to need to sign this one. I believe he's the only one that needs to sign the Title VI assurances. And then there is a resolution adopting the documents pertaining to Title VI that you all need to sign. Did you have a chance to look over all of these?
It looks good.
And I've got the document for them to sign.
Okay.
You want them to sign two?
Yes.
Thanks. That'd be great.
Those two documents you're going to be signing are part of a larger implementation plan. So once those two documents are signed, then the implementation plan itself will need to be adopted.
And approved.
Approved. That doesn't require a signature. It just requires a vote to approve it. And then...
And that includes the training, right?
The training comes after.
Okay.
Part of our project doing this was to come up with a training material, which she did awesome at, and we still have to meet to come up with an actual training plan, which we'll probably do within the next week or so that we can hold classes for all employees and make sure that everybody's up to speed. Once that's completed, all of our training materials will go to the auditor's department. In that resolution, it names the auditor of Plaquemine County as the Title VI coordinator, because this is all employment related. So everything on that list, we have it. There's also one other stack in there that needs your approval, which is the ADA
policy
and procedures, which he had said something about.
We're going to make an addendum to our policy book. We're not going to put it in our policy. I mean, it's half as thick as our policy book is already. We're just going to reference it as an addendum and then make it available so it doesn't clutter up. You know, I want people to have the information, but it kind of really throw off the flow of them. You get 100 pages of ADA plans.
And the deadline for all of this is the 19th. We have to have all of this stuff emailed back to the Friday. We have to have all this stuff emailed back to them by Friday, and it all has to be on the website.
Very good.
Oh, yeah. Did you talk about
it? I haven't.
No.
He's not here tonight. Well, with that being said, first, strong work, both of you and whoever else assists
and
you.
Larry, interrupt a minute. ADA board has helped a bunch, and I think it's been a group effort. You guys have gone great on this.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
You're fine. Likewise, strong work, the ADA committee, Sherry, Jeff, and Kevin, you also were helping out there, dotting the I's and crossing the T's. That's your expertise there. So with that being said, I move that we have the necessary personnel to sign the appropriate forms, but for the Plaquemine County Title VI assurances to be signed and approved, and the resolution for adopting documents pertaining to the Plaquemine County's compliance with the Title VI provisions of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. I move to approve those.
Second. Okay, I have a motion and a second to sign all the Title VI paperwork for the county, assurances, policy, and all the documents.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
And then I will continue on with the motions of signing the Title VI Implementation Plan 2016 and the ADA policies and procedures accommodations for the staff, employees, and citizens with disabilities. Move to approve and sign those, adopting those plans and policies and procedures.
I have a motion and a second to sign said documents. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
Now we can just get an elevator to work and be in compliance. But yes. Let's hold the feet to the.
Let's send this one group down.
Just this one,
yeah.
You guys will reach out to RB tomorrow to give him adequate time to get this onto the website, or what do you think? Okay. We did not need to sign anything. The selection documents in the credit. Okay. Anything else?
Yeah. I am going to. I'm here to ask permission to attend the state-level disaster exercise in Scatterchuck on September 12th, 13th, and 14th. It is a earthquake this year, and we will be assisting the technical rescue team as their incident management team for planning the...
Awesome. I would move to approve that request.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the request for EMS conference. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
Jeff, do you have anything? You're not on the agenda. Do you have anything you want to update? We're good to go?
No, we're good to go. I'm going to be sending you guys information on the roof via email. You'll get that tomorrow morning for the jail. And I should have elevator cost estimates this week. He should be here to start his site visit either tomorrow or Wednesday. So I'll have that information too.
Very good.
Just wanted to mention, Larry and I guess you guys had a discussion about it, the leak under the steps a while ago. This afternoon.
You're talking of the press.
Outside the building.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
So just, yes. I don't know what to do with that situation.
I'm looking into that still.
Okay.
Let me get back to you on that. I'll discuss that with you once I've got some alternatives.
Okay.
What would be really great is if the council would say, go ahead and repair the outside of the building. That would untie my hands.
Yeah.
But
they have pay
nothing I can do about that. So that's all.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay.
That was all I signed? Was all of them? I got
all that papers.
All right.
You've got the secure imaging too.
All right. Old business.
Jeff. Which one, Jeff?
Or Jeff, would you want to come up first? While you're here and
well, the first thing I want to talk about is we're talking about back on 10, 12, and 15. at a council meeting, I got approved by them, and they said to come back to you, and I failed to do that. So this is my mistake, and I'm trying to fix it. And the letter I wrote, we have two deputies, Nick and Phil, who have been at the academy since July. They have several more PTO hours than they can use in the remainder of 15. And so what I was asking for permission to do is allow them to eventually take those, carry them over into this month or this year so they wouldn't lose them, and get them taken within 180 days, which would be outside of the policy handbook. So we got all that done, and it was all thing, and then Sheila was looking at some other things and brought that to my attention, so I said I would come over tonight and try to get that fixed. So what we need is a motion from you guys saying that you were okay with that, and I guess I don't know what to do if you decide not to okay that, because it's a done deal as far as getting it done. But they've taken their balance of their time, and it's...
this year should equal out?
They're good.
They're good this year?
Yeah, so it was just a deal where we were short all last year, had people in the academy and not positions not filled, so we just couldn't get their time off. So sure. Instead of them losing it, I'd come and ask the council, they approved it, and why I didn't come to you guys the next meeting and get that approved by you, I don't know, but I didn't get it done. She was... listened to the minutes, and it was never brought in front of you. So I told her I'd come up today and try to fix that. So.
And I appreciate you understand the normal procedures, and I'm not going to hash that out there. But overall, we want to keep an eye on carrying over hours and such, and if it can be justified by the department head, then that's that. This he has proper procedures on, he or she has proper procedures, and I would move to approve the carrying over of the hours for
Nick and Phil.
Nick and Phil.
Yeah.
Nick Boyer and Phil for.
I've got no problem with it.
10. Did they know the procedure?
They absolutely knew the procedure. I don't think it was their fault. I think it was there just wasn't enough people for them to take it off. We knew that they were over, and that's why I came actually before the end of the year. I went to the council on the 10th of, the 16th of October, 12th of October, and they approved it. And for whatever reason, you know, I've got it approved by council, and I usually jot down if they say, you know, come to the commissioners. I usually try to come to you guys first, but every once in a while, you're getting on a time crunch, and if you can get the council's approval before we get yours, it just works out. So why, Bud? I don't know. I didn't come to you guys, but we've listened to the – Sheila's listened to the minutes, and it just didn't get done. So I'm apologizing for that, and, you know, like I said, I don't know what we're going to do if you guys say no, because they've taken the time, but I'm trying to fix it in a public meeting the best that I can, and that's what I'm doing. So everybody over there knows the procedures. We had come early. For some reason, I didn't get over here and ask you guys. So the mistake's mine. It's not Nick or Phil's or Carrie over there. It was me.
I have no problem.
I have a motion and a second to approve the carryover PTO hours for sheriff employees. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
And then the other thing I have is the contract with Motorola for the 911 center. I just need one signature on that, and then I think Motorola is going to come by and sign theirs tomorrow. So I think you guys already made the motion to sign that.
Okay. I'll move to reapprove the signing of the 911 contract.
Second.
And then on some good news from the jail. That,
1 second.
Yep.
Have a motion a second.
Oh, I'm sorry.
To go ahead and sign this contract with Motorola. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carried. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
She would get us.
I understand that. And I'm not complaining about that. That's her job, and that's what we should be doing. So the other one is just some information from the jail. House Bill 2006, I think, was made the responsibility of the sheriff to house level 6 felons, or people that we used to ship off to the DOC now we have to hold them. I guess the good news of that is that the DOC now pays us $35 a day for doing that. And so far as of August 1st, we've sent a bill to the DOC for $75,108. So, you know, I would think easily by the end of the year we will have made, you know, over $100,000 by housing level 6 felons here at the jail. So I think that's good news for the county. That all goes to the general fund. So I just wanted to let you know that. And I don't have anything else unless you guys have something.
Sheriff, I attended the IACC meeting last Thursday and brought up your concerns in regards to the hospital and the billing of them billing the county for a
for people before they actually get booked in.
Before they get booked in, I'm trying to come up with the right wording for describing the individual. That's a concern statewide. Hot topic. Every county is suffering through this dilemma on who is liable for that bill. The thoughts are it should be billed to the individual, and they'd be forced to pay any of the bills that are coming from the hospital. The group, some of our subcommittees are going to be bringing it up to Barnes and Thornburg and try to come up with some legal guidance that can give us some teeth to assist you and other sheriffs and other counties to get this worked out. We're just a small community, county, and you get this with large counties.
The right person, it could hurt.
It is affecting everyone's budgets across the board.
I know the sheriff in Fulton County has come before his council for like at least two and maybe three $40,000 additionals just to pay his medical bills. So I think we've done well so far fighting this off. I know Kevin and the attorney for the hospital are going to meet. I can tell you that Carrie just did an excellent job, my matron. The hospital in this first meeting with them brought over, I want to say it was almost $13,000 worth of medical bills that they said. And Carrie went through all those, and that number was down by the time she was done to about $130.
Wonderful.
And so, you know, some of that's the hospital, their billing practices. And, you know, Carrie keeps good records and was able to say, no, we paid that one. And then with, you know, all the stuff that we have going on in the jail, we do have good records of the people that we've had there. So we can say, no, this person wasn't here, that, you know, why you're sending this bill. And so through all that, we were able to knock that down to about $130. So, there's a lot going on there that, you know, I'd be more than happy to share with anybody. The hospital is willing to negotiate some of these bills. I know Kevin's looking at, you know, we're getting down to the definition of what arrest is, and so it's a lot of stuff going on with this bill, and I'm really anxious to get that answered so we know where to go from here. And I guess the good news is that it, one of the tools you have as a sheriff is an email thing to where you can send an email out and it goes to all the sheriffs and it's a broadcast, and then the ones that do answer you and you can, you know, kind of get an adjustment, and it's across the range. There's people that do what we do where if they're not booked in, you don't pay the bill. It's all the way to the other end of that, to where if the police have picked them up, then they're in custody and you pay the bill. So there seems to be a wide range of things. I don't know, maybe it's something the legislature needs to address, but thanks for looking into that.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you, guys.
You bet.
Okay, old business.
In regards to the ordinance for the irrigation, an ordinance has been drawn up. And Kevin, I don't know if you can answer this right now or not, but the ordinance would need to have a hearing or a public hearing in regards to this one. This
you can do whatever you want. The only requirement when you pass any ordinance that involves a fine is that you have it published twice.
Okay.
And the paper, so and it becomes effective.
Before it becomes effective.
And it's passed when you sign it. It becomes effective after the second publication.
Okay. I've had phone calls both ways. One definitely, well, he called twice. Not in favor of this ordinance. The follow-on to the conversation is what's next. In regards to the county stepping in and putting something to paper as not to do this, not to do that. It comes down to the public safety and the safety concerns of the public and the balance of working with the farmers in regards to the irrigation and or closing down the road temporarily to allow the irrigation to be crossed or use that road and allow their equipment to be on the road. There's been some past practices that draw some questions up at, in different areas of the county that I'm not sure if the commissioners knew that it was, had been approved. Roads being closed so that irrigation can be used. So it's a touchy subject. I'm sure the commissioners up here aren't all on the same page at one time or another on this topic. In 2012, the reading was a fine would be imposed. It was, hang on one second, I'll get to the dollar amount. I hear you, sir. Thank you.
It was right in the middle.
Okay. I'll read it.
You can read it, Larry.
Yep. The applicable fines back in 2012, April 16, was any landowner or tenant who had violated subsection 2 of this ordinance either intentionally or unintentionally shall pay a fine of $1,000. If said landowner or tenant had a previous instance of violating this ordinance within a period of 12 months, then the fine jumped up to $2,500. At one time, a month or so ago, it was discussed trying to have a committee of farmers to review this. There was an individual who was identified, and he says he does not want to be a part of that committee. Probably doesn't want all the targets on his back of suggesting things. So the fines have been reduced. Let me get to the right page here.
Since that name was brought up, I'll identify myself as a person. And the reason I didn't want to serve on the committee is because I don't want an ordinance.
Okay.
That's why I didn't serve on the committee. I think that you guys need to come to the farmers and talk to the farmers about that situation and see if you can't get it corrected before an ordinance is passed. That's why I didn't serve.
Thank you. The new fines, it's any landowner or tenant who has violated subsection 2 of this ordinance, either intentionally or unintentionally, shall pay a fine of $250. If said landowner or tenant had a previous instance of violating this ordinance within a period of 12 months, the fine shall be $500.
Okay.
So is that going to make that safer by reducing the fine?
Well, I would hope that the farmer would get a subtle hint without having to hit your pocketbook too much.
Let me ask you this question.
Could you put your name on the record so that...
I'll put my name on the record.
That's why.
Back in 2012, I did some investigating. And in the United States, there's three irrigation ordinances on the books. And all three of them have no dollar fines. All of them are... What they are, they're based on... There's only three of them. And they're not in the biggest irrigated states. And we're not even close to the biggest irrigated states. You guys want to see irrigation? You go to Nebraska. You go to Stevens Point, Wisconsin. You go to places like that, you guys haven't even seen water. And those three that are in the United States, it's not like, I had this conversation with one of the farmers today. And he said that one of the handguns was hitting the road 2 years ago. And one of the officers knew him and picked up the phone and called him. Well, that's pretty much kind of like a warning.
Sure.
Okay, that's an indeliberate. You know, say if you're going 5 miles an hour over the speed limit and you wasn't meaning to, you know, somebody, officer might pull you over to that one day and say, hey, I know you wasn't going fast, but maybe slow down. You don't write him a ticket right away.
Sure, I understand.
But you guys are opposing it. That's all it is a money grab.
Well, let me ask you this. If we took away the fine and left the ordinance, would you still buy the ordinance?
No, there shouldn't be any ordinance. Like I say, back in 2012, each one of us, we run our businesses pretty much like Braun or anybody else in town. We take liability insurance for a reason. We don't get tax abatements like these big, like Fratco.
I understand.
We take our insurance. We don't get no special. You know, we have our bills. If something happens, we got to pay them. All you guys are trying to do is just, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? Well, we have that covered. Like back then, did I say? I said, how many times have you ever seen an air base crown on the paper? You know, I'll take one thing. When we talk about dangers on the road, I seen that back in the June minutes. You guys wrote on there. There's going to be another talk about this because the end quote, the one sentence was, irrigation is dangerous. I live out there by Beeson Park, and we come around the corner by there by Burgers. You want to talk about dangers, you come around there and you have kids, young kids trying to get their license. You guys ought to maybe worry about throwing some trees back on some of these roads and quit worrying about, you know, hey, if water might be hitting the road by accident. There's other things in this county that are dangerous to these people on the roads than these irrigators. And I think you're kind of looking in the wrong spot.
Thank you.
When we start talking about protecting people, period.
Yes, sir.
Eric Hughes.
Eric.
One of my biggest questions would be, you know, it's a kind of two-part question. Number one, in the last 10 years, how many accidents have been caused by irrigation? Major or minor?
None.
I would like an answer. Is there a farmer you were in there?
Yeah, I heard you. I would have to look, Eric, but I do know of one, a motorcycle accident where a guy slid on the road. Was hit by an irrigation thing. What I did look at, and I was trying to think of that when I was coming up here, but the first time we talked about it, I thought we had like 5 complaints on irrigation.
Complaints, but not accidents.
Right, but I know just one accident, and that's just off the top of my memory, and that was, you know, out here west of town, a kid on a motorcycle and slid because he got hit by irrigation and shooting on the road. So
I understand, but in the same token, my next question would be, was that because of mechanical fault or was it negligence? You know, this stuff is...
It's programmable.
Yes, it is, to a certain degree, but it's still not bulletproof.
Correct.
Different than anything else is.
So let me ask you this, Eric. If you were out driving around looking at your equipment, assessing your fields, and you saw it spraying on the road, would you take time to go and correct that?
Most of us do the best job we can. But my next question is who is going to sit on judgment when that? What is your definition? What is the fine line when water hits the road? Why is it hitting the road? If Mother Nature stirs up a 30-mile-an-hour wind and my pivot is well away from the road, but that water still lands on the road, which one of you is going to sit in judgment on me? And this is that what we really need our police force concentrating on is irrigation crimes that you want to call. At any time, any of this can drift by the cause of Mother Nature, not by the direct pattern of the irrigation. I understand there are some folks that maybe aren't doing their due diligence to get this stuff, these problems addressed. But it's not the mass. It's not the majority. I understand and I respect why you guys are here, but at the same token, I feel like there's a lot more things that we can be concentrating on, and there's a lot more things that are a concern, especially a grave health concern. This isn't, I don't feel like this is a true, the problem with this is you're trying to make people happy that just are being inconvenienced. And I am sorry for that inconvenience. But we all have inconveniences in our life. Whether that inconvenience is why it is or what it is, I'm sorry. But there are a lot more safety issues in this county than that. If I may, I would like to ask Jeff one more question. How many calls in the last 2 months have you got related to Pokemon?
I don't know that, Eric. I'd be one I'd have to look up. I would assume that
somebody's a
driver and all that stuff, but
I don't see you writing an ordinance that you can't play a video game in the county.
Especially a video game when you're driving.
And we already have laws against texting and things like that. And the police force can do their best due diligence to maintain those laws and to, you know, bring those laws to fruition, but it still happens. And they're doing it knowing that they're risking somebody else's life. Thank you,
Eric.
Eric, this ordinance addresses more than just water on the road. Mm-hmm. I have observed personally irrigation equipment blocking the road. If an ambulance had to come through, there'd been no way. Or a fire truck. There's people live at the back of this road. They would have to go back out to the main road and around. Could cost somebody their life. Not only about water, it's about other things.
Oh, I understand that.
That's not due diligence. That's not due diligence when they park machinery right in the road and block a county highway.
I understand that.
That's ridiculous.
But in my instance, I know who you're addressing. I know there's two issues, and I know I will defend mine. Under the laws the way they were written right now, as long as we keep operating the way we are and closing the road and calling the sheriff's department, we're still legal. I'm not going to address any of the other issues on it because it's not me to address.
Back when this surfaced and that gate was put up, you did it right. I appreciate what you did. You tried to do it right, and I want to credit you for that. But this other deal, it's part of this ordinance.
Well, there again, do we have to have an ordinance, or can we just communicate with those people?
If he was out there and you seen it on the road, at that point, the sheriff should have been called. There's something in the road. It's no different than if a vehicle is in the road. If a dead vehicle is in the road, or there's a vehicle in the road, the sheriff has the right to go and have the road cleared. I'm asking a question. If there is a problem, if somebody's crossing the road near here, it needs to be addressed to that person or whoever it is. If the building falls down in Monterey, did we write an ordinance? No, we did nothing about it until somebody else cleaned it up. But what I'm saying is, if there is a problem and you see an irrigator on the road, number one, you should have called Mr. Jeff and had the irrigator taken off the road at that point in time. Because at that point in time, you're negligent.
Jeff was not sheriff at the time, and our ex-sheriff said it was discretionary to him, and he wouldn't come. So that's my answer to you, Larry.
Okay.
We try. We try to do our best. Mr. Roush.
It seems like some people think that farmers or their irrigators call it just aggravating people. They turn it on out of desperation because their livelihood is being threatened. Their crops are burning up. You need that to pay bills. You need that to feed people. You go out in California, any other state, irrigation. They turn deserts into irrigation. And here we're in a little plastic county, got this kind of stuff going on, an ordinance.
What grows in the blacktop, Larry? What kind of crops grow in the middle of the blacktop?
I don't know none.
Well, why's the water in red?
Because, like they said,
this wasn't overspray. This was not overspray. You go out on 200 right down from your road, and you'll see water pumped on that highway, pumped on the county highway.
And I drive that road. I live there.
I know you do.
And I drive it every day, and I have never seen an accident. So what? A little water hits my windshield. I can even walk. I walk every day. And you can time the sprinkler where I can walk through before it comes around again. If you're worried about your car getting wet, just simply stop. A little inconvenience. Our society is getting where at least you call inconvenience and we're violence. Ordinances ain't going to solve this. It's about friendship, get along, being considerate of the other guy he's trying to make a living.
I think it's about respect to the public, too, on some of these farmers'
right.
parts.
Where does the farmer get respect on the other end? We can't get people to even slow down anymore when we're going down the road with equipment. I'm asking.
I don't know. I'm not a policeman.
How are you going to create an ordinance against that?
I see farmers pull their big equipment off to the side and wait. They'll see a car half mile and they'll pull over and wait. The farmers are very considerate with their large equipment. So don't say the farmers being...
I'm not going to lump all farmers in one group. Everybody's individual. No, everybody's individual.
But you're lumping...
You guys are lumping yourselves in a group.
No, what you're doing is because of a minority, you're making
a minority
call for the majority of the farmers. So they got one...
I'm not going to argue this anymore. This is not a hearing. It's our meeting.
I'm just saying these guys are trying to make their living.
I respect
and they're
that.
They're trying to penalize them. They're trying to hold them back.
Isn't this a public meeting? Public forum?
It's not a hearing.
I'm just asking if it's public forum.
Yes.
Well, I don't see no ordinance. I think there's other ways to solve this problem.
No ordinance.
Here.
Derek. I just think that I know that right now you can't pass this off of a second reading, but I think with all the tension that is building up, I think it's really important that maybe we would have a public hearing over this issue. I think with some of the things that have been brought up specifically about the fact that we're willing to drop fines and drop fines to a lesser amount, I think that really threatens the validity of what you're trying to accomplish, because it looks like it is just a money grab at that point. Because if it was truly a sincere plot to, you know, deal with public safety, the thought of bringing a $1,000 fine down to a $250 fine would never even come up. So I think there is more than this, and I think that the public does need their spot to voice their concerns.
This has been discussed since far back as I can remember. Motion was made by Ken Boswell in 2012. They had the first reading, I think a second reading, and then passed. The farmers in question were supposed to self-police. And evidently that hasn't happened, because I get phone calls and I get ripped to work about it all the time.
If I may again?
Yes.
If it was such a public concern at the original meeting, if I recall right, there were only two individuals here that were against it. We have a large majority of gentlemen here and ladies that were saw our side of the story. And he's just bringing out another valid point. If it is a public concern, why not have a public meeting where we can invite everybody to have a voice their opinion? There's nobody getting upset or worked up out here. We're just talking in a public forum.
Eric, I appreciate your comments there. Derek also. Sorry.
I can read the...
Hang on, John.
I can read who was present at June 4th, 2012, if you want me to. Craig Casson, Fred Casson, Mike Glenn, Wyatt Nielsen, Tony Casson, Joe Pierce, Gene Hatfield, Rick Weitrich, Tim Riedbaugh, Herman LaPelt, Kevin LaPelt, Daryl Goodman, Glenn Bode, Patrick Eady, Chris Lamer. I'm only third way down the list. So, yes, it was very well.
All of those gentlemen were here to get this stopped then. There were only two people here trying to get this started. If there was such a public outrage, where was the rest of the people at the top? That's my question, sir.
I can't answer that. I don't know.
Then why is it an issue now?
It's been an issue. It's been on the table.
Where's your public outrage? That's what I'm asking. They're not here. If it's such an outrage, why aren't they?
You'll have to call them and find out. I don't know what
I don't know who they are, sir. If I may,
John. I'm just wondering, is there any mechanism for a warning before you start finding people in this ordinance?
There was none that's written up. Again, that could possibly be an amendment to this here, as in rewriting it.
I think if you're trying to make good neighbors and you really are gung-ho about getting this ordinance through, you can't just start throwing fines out there first. There needs to be some mechanism.
You don't need to amend the ordinance. You don't put into a law the officer discretion. It's overbroad. It's involved in everything. Everybody drives a car in here, and they've been perhaps given a warning. It's within the officer's discretion. It's always within an officer's discretion to a degree. You don't need to put it in the law, is my saying. This, what an ordinance is a codification, a local law. So I'm just trying to answer the question. You wouldn't put in there.
So the discretion is officer discretion.
They're all trained on officer discretion. Jeff knows that. All officers are.
Yes, sir.
Garrett Burnett again.
Yeah.
I know back in 2012, we talked about that. What about when our county chips and seals the roads? I mean, there's a lot of liability there for motorcycles, but, you know, they take into fact, you know, that road is slick. You know, it's loose, so you slow down. And, you know, not to be kind of funny, but on the way in here, I dodged probably 2,000 potatoes, and I was scared for my life. I thought maybe my truck was hitting one of the potatoes on the road, and I'd lose control, but I slowed down and made it in here. And it's one of those things that I get aggravated as potatoes on the road, but I know they're there for a reason. They're there to provide farmers with income and buy the gold with a way of life, and we put up with it. I don't hear anybody come in here complaining about motorcycles, complaining about potatoes being on the road, and I know there's a heck of a lot of motorcycles that come out my way past that farm. So there's a lot of things to get put on our roads in our county that we live with. And we've lived with a long time, and we've got accustomed to. And we've been accustomed to irrigation in this county probably since 1980. It's probably the earliest I can remember, probably some of the reels we had.
How far back? No, I suppose like 76.
And now all of a sudden, I think just there's so many coming about. And I can look back probably 5-6 years ago when the corn got to $5. Well, you heard a lot of rumblings in the community of people that weren't in that. Well, you guys are making it filthy rich. You guys are making it filthy rich. And all of a sudden, now our family's getting into money trouble the last 5-6 years. Now all this is coming about. So, if we have to have a public hearing, maybe that's what we should have. We'll get everybody involved and see how the public really feels and let them see our view.
Yes, sir.
I have a comment. Albert Goodis. If there is no state law that says that prohibits irrigation water from spraying on a state road, is that correct? Or does anybody know?
There is none.
Well, why do we need one?
Exactly. Why is Plaskett County worried about it? I think if it was a true concern, the state would say, you cannot do this. But why is it such an ag community like Plaskett County concerned about it?
And what about McDonald's, Bronze? Lawn irrigation. If you're going to go after farm irrigation, you better go after industry too.
McDonald's on the U.S. highway, Eric.
So?
Call the sheriff.
I don't have a complaint. I'm asking, sir. Any lawn irrigation, somebody that has irrigation in their yard, are they subject to the same penalties and fines?
Should it? Irrigation.
Simple question.
Button comments? I'm Caroline. It looks to me like, again, I'm kind of an outsider. It looks to me like is you got 1 or 2% of the majority that's doing complaints. You got the other 90%+ that will stop for the water. I ride a motorcycle. I stop for irrigation numerous times. You see it coming? You stop. You don't need to be riding down the road 80 miles an hour. You can stop for them. These people don't call and say, Terry, there's water out there, but I stopped for it. Don't bother me a bit. You got just 1 or 2%. They always got to be in a hurry. They're the unsafe ones, and they're the ones that's calling me. So I said, I think you got to weigh this. It's just like anything else. I can go back to where Larry and I worked together. We had to put in an attendance policy because we had 2% of the group that wouldn't be there on time. So now I had to put in a policy that affected 98% that was there on time every day. And that's what you're doing here. Now, I can see this. You've got just a very few that's complaining. So now we're going to make all kinds of ordinances and all kinds of stuff to satisfy a few people that's calling you and complaining. All you got to need to tell them is, hey, you're just a small majority. We would be, hey, this happens. You just need to watch it. Be more careful. That's part of Plaskett County being a farming community. You're going to have this. It's just like the potatoes on the road or the beans filled on the corner up here coming around 35 or the corn. I've seen that numerous times.
Tomatoes.
Yeah, tomatoes is another one. So I think you got to look at the whole picture, not just the few phone calls you get as being a commissioner. Like I said.
Thank you. Any comments?
I'll just say fair. I asked a lot of people in the ag department down there why they haven't enforced something on the state roads, and everybody's afraid of it. They don't want to be involved. They want to let farmers do their thing, and so I think that's what we should do here.
But the last couple of weeks, you've been saying we ought to do something. You sat at my house the other night, so we need to do something.
We need to do something like irrigation signs or something, a little bit.
Right.
And that...
I think that's in the ordinance, but...
For the most part, they've done a pretty darn good job of policing that stuff. I'm not saying there's not a few out there that haven't upheld their end. But it's hard to lump everybody in the same. Not everybody drives down the road 55 miles an hour.
Do most of them have signs up warning you if there's irrigation on the road? When you get a burst?
Some do have the signs, Carol. Some are large, some are small. But there are
a couple.
They are coming about. It's not a blanket statement across the board, but they are coming about.
I mean, I'd be devil's advocate and say the county's at fault because they didn't put a sign up on the road to their quarter.
Hey, Gary, you need some more things to do.
Oh. What if there's snow on the road?
That's water.
I'm not ready yet, Terry. Any other comments? At this time, I think we'll die for lack of emotion. It's evident that it will be a strong statement that may not come across as well as it should. It can be seen in some people's eyes that is a concern that irrigation could be looked at by the farmers to, hey, let's take a pause and let's go and look at it. Is it broken? You're correct. Sheriff, law enforcement would have the ability to issue a warning. But you're correct. Self-policing, signage, let's give it a chance.
If I may, Mr. Brake.
Sir.
It wouldn't bother me at all if I get a phone call from anybody. Hey, could you do something about it? You know, we're doing our best. And there are mechanical issues. And a little bit of notification. I mean, there's sometimes we just don't even know. I've called several of my colleagues in this room. You know, hey, you know, your gun's on, you know, and we're all working together. We're trying to do our best. There's always going to be a few, so we're trying. But it wouldn't bother me if you called me, sir, or Bud, and said, hey, you know, your handgun's, because sometimes it just happens.
Correct.
Thank you.
I got a question for Sarah. What's going to be your answer to the next phone call you get about somebody complaining?
Call Larry and Bud.
You're the president. Yeah.
I'll refer him.
I think it's going to die for right now for a motion. I thank everyone for putting their efforts into drawing this up. Kevin, Terry, I wasn't part of it. it could pass tonight 2-1, and it could be turned over in January 1st to take it away whoever the next sitting commissioners are. It's gentlemen, ladies, do your best.
Thank you.
ATVs is not ready yet, is that right?
Not quite. I met with Jeff, had some discussions back and forth. We've got a several page ordinance here that we're trying to integrate the Title 14, which kind of covers this area. But Jeff was checking on me for me today that who would actually license the ATVs, and I guess it's actually for the BMV, and I don't have that in the ordinance yet. And it's by statute, it's a C infraction to operate one on a roadway right now if it's not authorized by ordinance and it's not registered. So they're operating now, you see infraction, which is a minor fine. I mean, well, minor, it could be up to $1,000. So it's A infraction could be $10,000, for example. So anyway, we're working on it, and in 2 weeks, I think we could have something you can pass, which if you're interested in that, getting people to register the vehicles to prohibit them from getting the fine.
For the farming community, we're trying to do that for y'all, to allow the authorization of the ATVs, but, it's another level of paperwork, but hopefully it will help benefit y'all. Sir?
I just had a little trouble hearing you. The proposal, where would you be licensing these through? The BMV?
BMV.
BMV is what Jeff said, right, Jeff?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
BMV. Bureau of Motor Vehicles.
You said, you get your car license plates and all that.
I think the DNR is just some sort of...
DNR?
How is the DNR involved, Jeff? You have to remind me what you said.
The DNR proposes the Title 14 code, and then it's the BMV where you register off-road vehicles.
And I think they'll give you something like they do for a boat or something.
It's the exact same thing. You get that little sticker. For 3 years, it's $30. And the thing is that I guess what everybody should be aware of is that if the commissioners pass this, it still doesn't exempt you out of the having to have it registered to be on the road. So all this ordinance does is that the DNR, their infinite wisdom, wrote that law that all roads were closed until the county commissioners opened them. So that's why you see this piecework all throughout the state as to why some roads are open and some aren't. And then the only thing that the DNR allows the commissioners to do is to open the roads. They can make a motion that opens the roads, and then the ordinance that Kevin's talking about then accepts all the Title 14 codes, which, you got to be 18 to drive on the road. Well, just goes right down to the ORP laws. And so that's what Kevin's trying to get done. A lot of times what happens is people think just because the commissioners open the roads that's all you have to do. You still have to register with the BMV and follow that Title 14 code. It just, what they're doing is allowing the roads to be open. And then they're talking something about an agricultural part of it. We checked with several sheriffs, and I checked with, of course, some of the DNR people that I know. And the only complaint that really they raised that was small was trespassing complaints picked up a little bit on ORVs. I had this discussion when Daryl and Tony come, I think it was a couple meetings ago. I really think all we penalize are the good people that would stay off the road with that ordinance. There's plenty of people, I'm sure, in this room that these ORVs to check farms and whatever farmers are using for, and the only people that are getting, those are the ones that are going to stay off the road. These yo-yos that we have a problem with, they're going to do it whether it's an ordinance or not. So they're going to be chasing those guys. We're just, I think, penalizing the good people that would do it right. I don't know if everyone agrees with that, but that's what I think. The We didn't, I don't know, like Steve John sitting there, I know he was at the class meeting. You know, the Title 14 code has nothing to do with golf carts, so I don't know if that's going to address your issues with that or not, but I don't think it is. Golf carts were exempted out, and this is a hot issue whenever this golf cart business and ORVs and, you know, the legislature, I don't think, has done a very good job of addressing it. They try to pass the buck. You know, there's a law out there that if you weld a hitch on the front of your ORV, it changes the definition of it to a farm wagon. And if it does that, you can drive it wherever you want. Now, you know, what kind of law is that? So, and that's a state law, and I think just to appease the agricultural industry in the state. So, you know, you'll see, I don't know who those guys are. You guys know the ones that you see them pulling behind their truck, the ATV with that foldable hitch on there. Well, they're exempted out of that. That thing then becomes a farm wagon, and there's little specifications to it where it's only hold four passengers and can't have over four wheels or something. But that actually becomes a farm wagon, and I've talked to the state police and everybody about it, and I think if it does that, I think you can drive it right down the middle of I-65 and be legal. So there's a lot of, you know, whenever we start writing laws, they get kind of, I don't know, you know, switched around. I think as with the ATV law, these three guys are trying to do the best they can do, and it's a, all three of them have had a tough job, and whoever the two new ones are, they'll have the same thing. They sit up there and take the heat and do all the things that they do. You don't understand it, but it's, we'll see where it lands. I mean, this is part of it. You guys come in and say your piece, and they make their decisions, and life goes on. So.
Can I ask you a quick
question?
Sure. Yeah. Say if a farmer's got a son, what is the age requirement that he's working on a farm that he legally...
I don't know what that is. I'd have to look that up, Jerry. I think it's pretty young.
Okay.
And I would have to look that up. And the DNR has fought with that a long time on, you know, farmers want to say that the ATV is a farm vehicle. And, you know, it goes back and forth. And the nearest I could get back to what the DNR guys are supposed to be doing is several years ago, a captain on the department said, if they say they're farming, leave them alone. And what happens is that, you know, that's been, what, 7 or 8 years ago, I think, as near as I can tell, is, you know, the new guy comes on, he hasn't heard that, and he comes in and writes a few tickets, and everybody's stirred up, and then this all comes up again where, you know, we're trying to figure it out. And I know this issue with opening the roads to ADVs. I moved here in May of 84, and it was brought up then, and it seems like about every 8 or 9 years it comes up where somebody says, why can't we do that? And the discussion happens. Now, this has been the closest that I've seen it get as far as almost every other time it was done. So, and then, ATVs are a lot more popular now than they were 20 or 30 years ago, too. So. Golf carts get pushed off to the side. I don't really understand it. The DNR or the legislature exempted them right out of that Title 14 code. They used to be in that. And then they exempted them out for some reason. I don't really know the true answer to that. But they've been, you know, if you read the definition for an ORV in state law, it was anything that goes across, you know, sand, gravel, but it just, it was a big long story about it, and then except golf carts. It did right out there, so.
Thank you, Jeff. Sheila, your secure imaging.
Copier Plus.
Is it Copier Plus or secure imaging?
Copier Plus.
Anybody look at that to see?
Yeah.
Why we have so much overages?
I have not analyzed it, but it's. I'll still look at it. So keep that on there, please.
I got a letter today from Mr. Jim McDaniels, the Board of Aviation President, and they would like to appoint Quentin Blau to the Aviation Board.
Move to approve the appointment of Quentin Blount to the Aviation Board.
Okay. Have a motion of second to approve appointment to the Aviation Board for Quentin Blount. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
The last meeting, you guys, I think, approved all the secure imaging.
Yes.
And on the bottom line, it's got people's names or the authorized representative. You, Terry, is the authorized representative. He's approving all this. So
okay.
It was you guys discussed it at the last meeting and approved it.
Okay.
He just needed it signed.
Move for Terry to sign the secure imaging contracts.
Okay.
Or purchase order, excuse me.
Motion and a second to sign this from Secure Imaging. All those in favor say aye.
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 Yes.
Motion carried.
I just had a quick question. It's my understanding that there's going to be a new software going live the first of the year. Do I understand that correctly?
For which program? There's several programs.
I have no idea. I'm asking.
What's going live?
She's saying there's a new software that's going to be going live the first of the year. I don't know if that's Christie's office.
It might be nothing in our, not in the auditor's office. No.
Okay. And what software are you currently on?
We're on LOW. And we've been on it since November of last year.
That's not changing.
No.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Other department may have something, and
okay.
Not affecting you as an office holder.
Okay.
The other offices, whether it be the clerk's office with the court systems, those are the ones I think are in play, if you want to say.
Thank
you. You got to vote on that.
Hmm? On site and secure imaging?
Yeah.
They did.
We already did.
Okay, I missed out.
Yeah, they did.
We didn't tonight. We did previous.
We had previous. We just made a motion for him to sign it. Anything else in the other business there, Sheila?
I have one claim that I would like you to look at. This particular claim is a reimbursement. Thanks, Terry. It's a reimbursement.
Right.
And I sent an email out a few weeks ago saying that if you didn't have a detailed listing, that you couldn't get reimbursed. Because the auditor's manual says that we're supposed to have detailed receipts for reimbursements. And every once in a while, we'll have somebody that falters, and I've brought it forward. This particular one, apparently the person we're reimbursing asked for a detailed one, and they denied it. That's what she said.
Yeah.
So she had written it on the receipt what she had had. By the agenda, you can tell that she was there at the place that she ate at.
Right.
So I didn't know what to do with it. But it's not detailed.
It's not detailed. It is coming from the restaurant that is indicated where the conference was held, the Viking Chili Bowl in Valparaiso. So, yeah, okay. $8 altogether, or $7.44. She's given us what she could. If they're denying that, they can't give an itemized.
Beyond her control.
Beyond her control. The receipt does say Viking Chili Bowl. I think that's the name I just said. It does say that. It's not like the take on top here where just an adding machine. I'm going to move to approve it. But
we'll put that in the file.
But it's... We continue to fight this battle. And the next commissioners will continue to fight the battle too. Sheila's required to show itemized to the State Board of Health, or State Board of Accounts, excuse me. Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead.
The audit, it's from the State Board of Accounts.
Yeah, yeah.
They're the ones that require it.
Right, okay.
I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Move to approve the, okay. Approve this, approve it and sign the claims as presented.
Second. Have a motion and a second to approve and sign claims as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
Move to approve payroll as presented.
Second. Motion and a second to approve and sign payroll as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
Move to approve the minutes as presented.
Second, Terry.
Okay. Have a motion second to also approve the minutes as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Okay.
Joe, your headset, can you give me a, while we're doing this here, can you give me your, what you think?
Beats anything else I've seen.
Does
good.
It?
Good.
Cool.
Good.
It's excellent.
Okay.
Great.
Your instructions for tonight are to remove them, turn off the power, and we'll leave them here in the commissioner's room here on our desk, and then the maintenance person will pick them up tomorrow morning.
How in the world do I turn it off?
Well, give it to us, and we'll figure that out for you, but we'll get that figured out for you, but that's... I'm glad for your response. Would you recommend that we continue with this?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Well, it worked out.
Do not show this to my wife, otherwise I'll be having to have one of these right at the house. Jeff? No Facebook post to her.
Too late.
I don't know how many we got of those, Terry. Do you know?
Three, I believe.
And those will be jointly used with the court system,
mm-hmm.
And they'll be signed out or given to whoever.
Mm-hmm. Got a nice metal case that goes back in, and the whole deal, so. Good investment.
Our rave ADA requirements. Terry, Gary, do you guys know where this tree is that's blocking the view that they're talking about?
Bunch of them.
Yeah, we kind of know what I'm going to.
Okay.
We'll try to address the issue, I guess. Well, we had a clutch out of our mower. They just got it back together. We've got a lot of brush issues, I guess. But the bottom line is, yeah.
Okay. I would think they would be calling you anyway.
I'm not even the proper procedure, I guess. It's just what it's.
Well, we've had some irrigation things too, but we call. I mean, we're doing the road. We end up getting on the road. We'll tell them, and they'll shut it off. So, I mean, it's been fairly good work, but it's hard.
I know of all the fiasco last week. The school bus started calling about the irrigation system. Probably 2 days in a row, I guess.
Is that one of those physically sticking out?
No. There was a hole in the road. Shooting the water in the same place. So we buried the road. So then the next day she
had a clip
actually.
I had a clip on that pile.
So they're trying to build it up.
State?
No.
Okay.
I guess the bottom line is if you go outside and out there, you see a little water, but then you just slow down.
Go around. I think that was a suggestion.
On the gravel road where they hit, it could make a wash. But
I noticed we're getting a lot of the Nipsco, the
Topeka, the Rentals to Topeka project is moving along. A lot of the fields are getting the gravel put in them, and to me, it appears to be going smoothly.
So far. I guess.
No, I went down to, drove by the Reynolds at the starting point, and there's some equipment there sitting off on the south side of the road that's.
This might be an opportunity to say it publicly, and Terry talked to me about making some sort of getting something in the paper, which we haven't done yet, but we'll do that. Because as he was indicating, we haven't seen a big gun yet. There's going to be cranes all through this county, and they are going to damage our roads. He knows that. We knew that going in, and that's why we have a comprehensive contract with NIPSCO. It's for public enjoyment if they want to go and read it. I have it. The auditor has it. Highway Department has it. They compensated the county for delay, and they're going to repair these roads. A video was made of all the roadways before they started. They'll be highway superintendents will be allowed to check them afterwards. They'll be fixed to his satisfaction. So I'm just saying this because to kind of help them and you guys. If the complaints are going to come, there's going to be big heavy equipment going through our county, putting up big towers, and it's going to damage our roads. They know it. NIPSCO knows it. Highway knows it. And it's all already contemplated and going to be paid for and fixed. So.
And we had a very good meeting with them. He came with a drop in that area.
Yeah.
Very.
I guess the main thing is when it does happen, they can't follow all this tater machine. It's going to take time to fix everything. You know what I'm getting at. We've already got calls from everything from a little pothole to dust on corn plants.
Yeah.
So, the bottom line is I try to explain to them that we haven't really dealt with the cement trucks and all the big issues yet.
No.
It's coming. So anything you can do to maybe soften the blow would help.
Yeah, and what we talked about was just maybe doing a little statement in the paper just to let people know this is the project and to expect some damage to the road that's going to be repaired.
Thank you, Glasses. Thank you.
It's going to give them cheaper power tomorrow. I don't know. It's a great idea.
Yeah. Anything else?
More public comment?
I just asked that you guys revisit the golf court ordinance since you're doing the ATVs separately. Most other counties have done it separately. All the municipalities have done it separately. I know, Kevin, you're adamantly opposed to it, but I asked that you guys look into it.
That's a major misstatement, John. I never said I was opposed to it. I don't give my opinion on it. I said that my legal opinion is that it's not authorized by the statute. The statute says you can authorize golf carts on the county, on a municipality can, or a government entity can, if it doesn't violate any other law. And all I said is Title IX, which defines motor vehicles, there's probably 100 laws that a golf cart would violate. I don't care whether they pass one or don't pass one.
Thank you, Kevin.
Anyone else? Move to adjourn.
A second. Watch a second. Adjourn.
Aye. Aye. Brad, any further news on the viewing of the movies? That's fine.